Today, we'd like to see the spiritual life in the book of Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. For online course students, we'd like to suggest the three questions. Number one, in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Why are there no condemnation to those? The question one in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The question is, why are there no condemnation to those? Question 2, in verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not work according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. How do those fulfill the righteous requirements of law? The question 2 in verse 4, righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, in all believers. Why? That is, how do those fulfill the righteous requirement of law? The last question in verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to flesh, to live according to the flesh. What a type of debtors does Paul talk about? The last question in verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to flesh, to live according to the flesh. What a type of debtors does Paul talk about? First of all, we want to see a little background of previous chapters. Romans chapter 7, verses 12 and 13 said, therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not, absolutely not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly simple. What do these verses mean? Basically, the law, commandment, are God's word. So God is good, God is holy, God is just. Therefore, the word of God, such as law, commandments, holy, just, and good. But next question, how come the good, what is good meaning, how come the word of God become death to me, so made me to death, and how? The answer, absolutely not. The law, the God's word, wouldn't make us to death. But the problem is us, because we are sinners, originated from Adam, that's why we sin. So not we do sin, therefore, we are sinners. No, originally, we are sinners, originated from Adam, therefore, we sin. The problem is inability to perform God's word, commandment of the Lord. So basically, death. But sin in us, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, or through commandment, through law. So law reveals how much we are sinners. That's why, so that sin through the commandment, through God's word, so that is, might become exceedingly simple. So commandment, the law, which are the word of God, so commandment, the law, are good, holy, just, but the commandment reveals how much we sin. So the problem is us, not the law. That is basically means we sin because we are sinners. Because we sin, we are not sinners. No. So we originally, because we are sinners, that's why we sin. Romans chapter 7, verses 22 through 25, in the background, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Inward man, which means when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, so new birth man, that's called inward man. So that moment the Holy Spirit dwells in me. So inward man. But I see another law in my members or in my physical members. Still, I live in my flesh. So flesh wants something. War against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. So basically, human body has three elements, spirit, mind, and flesh. So mind is neutral, but mind is controlled by spirit. That's called spiritually minded. If mind is controlled by flesh, we call it fleshly minded or carnally minded. So all wretched men, in out of control to overcome my simple nature originated from my flesh. So out of control, wretched man, or I am in bankruptcy. So that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Death meaning this body of death, the result of sin is death. So this body of death is controlled by flesh. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So basically Jesus Christ controlling us. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Basically my body is still one part, my mind controlled by flesh, but the other inward man, newborn mind, controlled by the spirit. So that kind of struggling, that's called spiritual warfare. So now, verse 1, chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, which meaning all believers has no condemnation. All believers are not accused. Why? So basically, accusers originally, Satan, because daily accuser or condemner, Satan, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 and 10 says, so the great dragon was cast out, dragon meaning Satan, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan. So all is, same synonym, devil, dragon, serpent, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So fallen angels, together with Satan. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, the condemner of our brethren who accused or who condemned them before our God day and night has been cast down. So basically the Bible says Satan, devil, day and night accuser, condemn. So, but the chapter 8, verse 1, the Romans say there is no condemnation to those who is in Christ. Why? Because Christ himself is the shield. So God treats us as righteous. God sees me in Christ and sees me in the finished work. Because Jesus Christ, God finished work on the cross. So when Jesus was crucified, Jesus' spirit was left, Jesus said, it's finished. So finished work, considering me as righteous. So God doesn't see me by myself. God see me in Christ. Because I believe in Jesus Christ as a Savior. That moment the Spirit of Christ dwells in me. So God sees me in Christ, not me by myself. God doesn't see me in the present state of imperfection, but see me in Christ to accomplish to be perfect. So when I see Jesus face to face, that moment to accomplish. That's why God didn't see me in Christ, the perfect righteous. So therefore, no condemnation. Also John, chapter 8, verse 3 through 11. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher," teacher meaning Jesus, "this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act." So basically, while you know she committed adultery, that moment she was caught up, you know, by the people, you know, Pharisees. Now Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned. So she should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, and they might have something of which to accuse him. So they had a hidden intent to accuse Jesus, but Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone excuse me, at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up, saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours?" Here, Pharisees accuses you. Has no one condemned you? So condemn, accuse, in a synonym. She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." So Jesus did not intend to condemn people, rather than to save people. So like, you know, adultery woman, you know, exactly the same thing. Go and sin no more. Matthew chapter 18 verse 11, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." Jesus came here to save people, not, you know, accuse or condemn. But Satan, you know, original intention of condemning, you know, day and night. So in Christ Jesus, everybody in Christ Jesus has no condemnation. So here, you know, King James Version or New King James Version explanation, who do not, why? Because who do not work according to flesh, but according to spirit. So if we are in Christ, we are working, we are living after spirit, you know, not after flesh, but then, you know, struggling, you know, spiritual warfare, and, you know, continue to keep going on. Verse 2, "For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Basically, the spirit law gave us freedom from the death law, you know, sinful law. You know, what does it mean? Because we are subjected to spirit. So spiritual mind, you know, and contrary to fleshly mind, either, you know, always, but the spiritual mind, you know, dominate, either free from, you know, the fleshy controlling mind. So Galatians chapter 5, you know, verse 17, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit." The fleshy lust and spirit, so always contrary, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So always, you know, fighting each other. Romans chapter 5 verse 21. "So that as sin reigned in death." Why, you know, sin reigned in death? Sin's ultimate result is death. "Even so, grace might reign through righteous to eternal life." So God's grace, eternal life, not death, because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall have everlasting life, you know, eternal life, not death, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Also Romans chapter 6 verse 18 and 22, "And having been set free from sin," because when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, at that moment the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ dwell in me. So the spirit of God controlled me. the Supreme God is a master, so we are slaves over Supreme God, you know, or righteous here. You become slaves of righteous. What does it mean, slaves of righteous? Because righteous, you know, God's righteous, Jesus Christ righteous is my master. So, relatively, I am slave over righteous or servant, you know, for righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members, your physical members, your fleshly members, the body, physical members, as slaves of uncleanness. So, you know, because our flesh, you know, already contaminated by Adam, so the sinful, you know, purity of lawlessness. Lawlessness means a violation of law, you know, illegality, leading to more lawlessness. So violation of law, you know, leading to more illegality. So now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Because I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, at that moment my flesh was dead with the Lord Jesus Christ who crucified, you know, that moment. So that's why now my body is members for the holiness, righteousness, you know, Jesus Christ works. Slave, my body is my members. For when you were slaves of sin, you are free in regard of righteousness. This means if you're a slave of sin, you are not subjected to righteousness, which means you are unrighteous. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Sins and ultimate result is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God. So God is my master. So I am slave, you know, for God. I am not slave for sin any longer. You have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. So ultimately, that, you know, everlasting life. So that's the talk about verse 2. Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, meaning myself, with my flesh work, we could not, you know, perform the law requirement at all, because we are not able to accomplish the law requirement with human effort. But God did it by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned the sin in the flesh. What does it mean? God sent the Jesus Christ as a Son of God. So when Jesus Christ was crucified, Jesus took over all human sins, all human sins. You know, then Jesus rose again. So Jesus beat up, you know, all, you know, death power, all, you know, simple power. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. What does it mean? Not cannot. This meaning Jesus Christ as a high priest, he had experienced like us. So Jesus, you know, experienced with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are. Jesus all tempted as we are tempted, but without sin. But Jesus did not fail to be tempted, although he was tempted in all points, but Jesus did not sin. So Jesus, substitute of us, Jesus was crucified, Jesus took over, you know, all human being sins. So that's why we just accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And at that moment, the Spirit of God dwells in us, that the righteous requirement of the Lord might be fulfilled in us who do not work according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. So now the righteous requirement of law might be fulfilled, which meaning is able to be fulfilled. How? Because Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, who is in me, is in me. So Holy Spirit fulfill the requirement of law in that way. That's called, you know, sanctified. So who do not work according to flesh, but according to Spirit. The Holy Spirit, according to flesh, you know, accomplish the requirement of the Lord in me, in you. So that's why Romans chapter 3, verse 31, Romans chapter 3, verse 31 said, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Basically, if you face, which meaning the law is God's word, you know, the God's word giving certain norm to control human behavior, that's called law. Is it void? No, absolutely not. Because through faith, if you face in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, the Spirit simultaneously dwells in me. The Holy Spirit establishes, accomplishes the requirement of law. That's why, on the contrary, we establish the law. We, meaning all believers, establish the law. Or all believers accomplish the law in Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit. Basically, Holy Spirit in us and will accomplish the law requirements. So now, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. So according to flesh, my fleshly mind, they think about all flesh, you know. What, you know, I should wear, you know. What, you know, I should eat more, you know, something like that, flesh. Whenever you seek more flesh thing, always you will be thirsty, which meaning you need more and more, you know, like that. So no, you know, satisfaction, you know, at all. So because the flesh is, you know, always need more, like that. For those who live according to flesh set their mind on things of the flesh, but those who live according to Spirit meaning Holy Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So the, if you, you know, seek for in, you know, the kingdom of God, you know, God's righteousness, you know, then meaning the spiritual thing. So how can I, you know, please God more and more? Because it, according to Spirit, meaning according to Spirit of God. So how can I please God rather than please myself? For to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death. Why? Because fleshly minded, which meaning, you know, sinful minded, you know, the result of a sin, ultimate death. But to be spiritual mind is life and peace. You know, of course, spiritual mind meaning, you know, life meaning eternal life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. And carnal mind is enemy or rebel, you know, against God. For because it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed it can be. So carnal mind cannot be the God's mind at all, because that is a contrary. So carnal mind, it is not subject to the law of God. That is subject to the law of sin, the subject to the law of flesh. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Yeah, that's why cannot please God. So if we are work after the Spirit, we are pleasing God, because the Holy Spirit controls me. Holy Spirit uses my body to glorify God, to please God. You know. Then, verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, because you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So anyone does not have a Spirit of God, which meaning unbeliever. Unbeliever, not subjected to, not belong to God, so rather than belong to Satan. Here, Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from face to face. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So which meaning for Christian daily life, we need a faith. Faith is based upon God's word. That's why, you know, we can be sanctified. We can be just like in the image of Jesus Christ. So we can live by faith, not, you know, by human effort, my flesh work. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, searching what? One man of time, the Spirit of Christ, or Spirit God, who was in them, who was in all believers in us, was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and glories that would follow. So Jesus Christ, you know, suffering for us. So basically the Holy Spirit dwells in us, which meaning we accept the Lord Jesus Christ who was crucified with bloodshed and rose again you know, to heaven with, you know, God's glory, who sit upon the right hand side of God. So that kind of talks about. Also 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith meaning faith of the Lord Jesus Christ Savior. Test yourself, do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified. So present tense, can you testify, examine yourself whether or not Christ is in you? If Christ is in me, I am Christian. If Christ is not in me, disqualified meaning I am not, you know, Christian, so truly. So that meaning, you know, a disciple, exactly, you know, same talking. So the Holy Spirit dwells in not in you, the Holy Spirit not in you, you do not belong to God, belong to Jesus Christ, because rather than to Satan. That's why, you know, he is here. Also, verse 9, verse 10, and if Christ is in you, because you believe in Jesus, Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Because Christ is in you, which meaning you accept the Lord Jesus Christ who was crucified, which meaning your body, your flesh is already dead because of sin. But Spirit is life because of righteousness. So the Spirit of Christ is dwell in you. So Christ is righteous, the Spirit is life, because that is all connection, the Holy Spirit, you know, righteous, you know, life, you know, contrary, fleshy, sin, you know, death. But if the Spirit of Him, or the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of Christ, who raised Jesus, the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. He who raised Christ from death, because God raised Christ from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. That's awesome. That's great. You know? So because God raised Jesus Christ, you know, from death, the Spirit of dead God dwells in you. Also, exact the same token, God will give you the life. Then verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to flesh. We are debtors to where? To the Spirit, not to flesh, but to the Spirit, to live according to flesh, you know, but to the Spirit, to live according to the Spirit. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So by the Spirit, you can, you will live. You know? That is, therefore, we can see, I do not owe anything to the flesh to have to live after the flesh. But I do owe anything to the Spirit to have to live after the flesh. So, therefore, during our life, the Holy Spirit still has under construction signs set out in areas of my life. Because my life is a progressive, but which meaning under construction signs worked by the Holy Spirit in me. So each question, let's see, in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not work according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Why are there no condemnation to those? The answer is verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Free. Me made me free from any condemnation, any accusation of sin, you know, and death. Why? The law of the supreme life in Christ made me free. That's why no condemnation. Question 2, in verse 4, that the righteous requirement of law might be fulfilled in us who do not work according to flesh, but according to Spirit. How do those fulfill righteous requirement of law? The answer, verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. My flesh cannot work in the law, cannot perform the law. But God did. The Spirit of God, you know, can do, perform the requirement of law in me. God did by sending His own Son in likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned the sin in the flesh. So basically, God, you know, did. Jesus Christ was sent. So we have believed in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Spirit, was in. That Spirit of Christ, you know, can fulfill the righteous requirement of law in me. The last question in verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to flesh to live according to the flesh. What a type of debtors does Paul talk about? Answer, verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of body, you will live. So, I do owe anything to the Spirit to have to live after Spirit, after Spirit. So that is the answer. Okay, let's just sing song or together last song, then, you know, with the Lord's Prayer, you know, we'll close, you know, today Bible study.